Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So I got a question for you. When was the last time you were irritated, offended, or frustrated with someone? And what did you do with those feelings? Did you stuff them, express them, add them to a case that you're building against someone? Or did you quickly deal with them so that your heart wouldn't have to live with the toxicity of a lingering offense? Well, our buddy, our friend Brant Hansen returns to the program today to talk about his best-selling and amazing book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. It is so true. He writes this, "What if Christians were known as the most unoffendable people on the planet?" So here's my question for you. And you know this, it's always we like to keep it raw and keep it honest. I want you to text in just a yes, no. If you have lingering offenses in your heart, just yes, no, because everybody does unless we're purposeful about sorting them through. But right now, is there something that you know you're hanging on to, even a grudge against the neighbor kid at the bus stop because they pulled your daughter's ponytail? Is there something where you have this angst that you've not sorted through with God? Yes, no. Text me, 877-933-2484. And we've got five copies of this really important book. I think I said this last time. I wish every Christian would read this, but I also wish unbelievers would read it, because if they did, they would want to be Christians. Because I think if they saw this in us, they would be more drawn to the Christ that we follow. Again, Brant's book is Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Brant Hansen is an author, radio host, and an advocate for healing children with correctable disabilities through Cure International. His podcast with his friends and radio producer, the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, love that, has been downloaded more than 10 million times. The author of The Truth About Us, Unoffendable, and Blessed Are the Misfits, Hansen's written for CNN.com, Washington Post, U.S. News, World Report, South Florida Sun, Sentinel, Relevant, and numerous other outlets on matters as varied as public policy, culture, sports, Asperger's syndromes, and faith. And he and his wife, Carolyn, live in South Florida, where I wish I lived. I wish I lived, but I don't. Brant, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, you should move down here. It's real nice. Everybody else is. So
I know. That's true. Everybody's moving there. It is a dream. I'm just going to be honest. It's a dream for me. So someday, maybe. All right. Well, you've been on plenty of times. You know we love to start by making it personal. And I'm just wondering, in your time with God, what's he been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, I can't remember if I told you this, but this has been a thing for me the last year or so. It's been the daily bread thing, where Jesus is telling us how to pray, and he tells us to ask for our daily bread. And somebody pointed out that's just your daily resources that you need. And that's what I've been doing. So it really helps me to focus on just what do I need to do, what I need to have today. And he provides it. And it's been like this daily thing. I don't always feel like I have it. For me, I need content for, you know, what I do. But I feel overmatched by that. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And instead of me thinking, do I have a 10-year plan or what do I be doing in 15 years? Like, no. Whoever comes across my path today, God, give me the resources for what I need to do. And so I ask him for today's creativity, for energy, because I'm an introvert. And I see his faithfulness on a daily thing. I think it's helped me grow a lot. And then weirdly, it helps you not be anxious too, because you just focus on today and God, please give me what I need for today. So that's been really helpful for me last year or so, especially.
So good. And it really helps you travel light, doesn't it? Because you're not borrowing tomorrow's trouble. You're really staying in the present moment. And I would say, Brant, I think one of the things that robs us of our joy and even the sense of God's presence in the moment is past regrets and future fears, where we're tagged and attached to the past, or we're totally projecting into the future. So
this is the genius of Jesus. I think people forget that he is a genius. He's the smartest man who ever lived, in addition to being God in the flesh. Like, he knows how we're wired. So everything he's telling us to do, ultimately, it's like incredibly freeing. Everything he tells us is incredibly freeing, and it's wild because I just saw this last week as a Harvard study, and this is so typical, but it's a Harvard study. It says it turns out that forgiveness is really good for you. Like, yeah, no
wow.
Way. No way.
That's new and different.
Yeah. So to your point, Unoffendable, one of the things I talk about is this Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers book. And it's this guy who's he calls himself a militant atheist, Robert Sapolsky, brilliant guy, primate neuroendocrinologist at Stanford. He's done all this study about stress and anxiety and anger and like feeling that threat, which all animals are equipped to feel threat so that they can run away. It's fight or flight, right? So that way all these changes happen to your body so that you can get away from this threat. But he said only humans get ulcers because we're the ones that can imagine threat from tomorrow or next week or 10 years from now or what could happen. And we internalize it and keep it in our body. Mm-hmm. So we have that fight or flight response, and it has all these physiological consequences. And here's Jesus and all of the wisdom of the scripture saying, when you do get angry, get rid of your anger before the end of the day. Or Jesus saying, be like the birds of the air. Be like, consider the animals. They're not worried about tomorrow. That's literally the conclusion that this Stanford atheist comes up with is, you know, we should be more like the animals where we don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Hmm. Instead, we should focus on our problems today. That's literally how he concluded his course. And I'm like, I've heard that before. Like 2,000 years ago, a guy said that.
Yeah.
Jesus is so genius in his way to live. I think it's helpful for us to think about it that way, if that makes sense.
That's so good. You know, when I was dealing with some mold toxicity that it was affecting my brain and my cognitive ability, it was terrifying to some radio host and an author, and suddenly I couldn't spell, and it scared me so much. So I know the brain is so, you know, amazing and able to do work around. So I started to study neuroplasticity and what could I do to help my brain heal from this. And I learned something so fascinating. It's been a while since we talked about it, but the brain science, apart from faith, scientists have discovered, and I think in the last handful of years, that our brains operate on one of two fuels, fear or love. And I just thought, oh, that's very interesting. So you're either in fear and making fear-based choices or love. And when you're in fight, flight, fear, as you're talking about, your cells close up. So even your healthy disciplines don't benefit you. And I just think that's profound because perfect love, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It goes back to what you're saying about being in the day, give us this day. But I also think, Brant, it connects to the unoffendability because I think the reason many people are so offended is they're so afraid. They're trusting man more than they're trusting God. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Okay, they're not trusting God. We aren't trusting God in several ways when we decide that our anger is righteous.
Hmm.
We're like, again, and people, they don't believe this. It's so counterintuitive. Unless they've read the book, they think this can't be right. And then they read the book, they're like, oh my goodness. There is no righteous anger for humans in scripture. It's not in there. Hmm. God's anger is righteous. Ours is not. James even says the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. That's a direct quote. But we've made it into a righteous thing. Well, my anger is righteous. Like, no. See, we're sinners. So what we're actually supposed to do is get rid of our anger as quickly as possible and forgive as we've been forgiven. And that doesn't mean that you put up with abuse. It doesn't mean you have to stay in a relationship or you don't have any boundaries at all. It does mean that you have to go about forgiving. So you let go of your right to anger, and you do it not because the person deserves it, but because God deserves it for what he's done for you and what he's done for me. A lot of us, though, don't want to give up our anger, and some of that is rooted in mistrust, to your point, because we think that we need to mete out justice. God's not going to do it. And somehow hanging on to our anger makes things more just. So we're worried about letting it go. But that, again, it comes down to a lack of trusting the character of God to take care of it ultimately in the end. The other thing is we trust too much in our own judgment. We think we know other people's motives, and we don't. We don't even know our motives, it says in 1 Corinthians 4. We don't even know our own, but we like to pretend we do, and we like to pretend that we know everybody else's status before God. And it's none of that is our business, none of it. So like Paul says, we just have to leave it to God in the end to sort it out. we are not the final judges. And honestly, when you give up trying to assess everybody, it's a really freeing way to live. It's just
Indeed.
A better way. Yeah, you can love people more freely, and you're a lot more fun to be around, and you still want everybody to have Jesus in their life, like all of us, more of Jesus, but you give up thinking you know stuff you actually don't.
When we come back, let's talk about that kind of tension you encounter when you talk about this, you bring up unoffendability, because it does make some Christians mad and it convicts others. Where I think that the tension is, some, as you were saying, think that we're saying that sin doesn't matter, because there are people who have kind of a theology that just love, 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 to the point where, you know, there's no conviction or biblical standard. On the flip side, you know, so some are saying maybe this is lowering the standard. Others, you know, I'd say, no, it's actually raising the standard for yourself, whom you can discern. You know, it's raising the standard, looking at the plank in your eye. So it's actually a call to actually greater holiness, really. Talking to Brant Hansen, his amazing book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. So two questions. One, if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And I'm just asking for an honest answer. I'm not reading any names. Yes or no, do you feel like there's something in your heart that you've not dealt with towards someone else? You're holding a grudge, you got angst, an attitude, a judgment, and maybe you feel like it's an earned judgment, but you built a case. And as Brant said, we don't really know really what's in the heart of other people, what it's been like to walk in their shoes. So just a yes, no answer. I'd just be curious. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Brant Hansen. I always love when I get a chance to chat with him. We're talking about his best-selling book, really amazing, one everyone should read, believers and unbelievers alike, because I think unbelievers would come to trust Jesus if they read this book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. We've got five copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Brant, before the break, I kind of set up the question that this stirs up anger in some because they feel entitled to their anger. And they're also maybe thinking, we're saying lower the standard. Anything goes. Just love everybody. On the flip side, what the call really is to raise the standard, but to raise it within yourself. So I'd love for you to talk about that.
Well, that's a big confusion because we grow up with certain ideas. I mean, I was taught this, that we have bad anger, we have good anger. We're supposed to hang on to the good anger. And like, but it's just not in the Bible. It's not scriptural. Again, it's counterintuitive. And I'd like for people to entertain that. They're like, this can't be true. Okay, but all right, that's what I used to think too. But the cool thing is being a disciple means you're always a learner. We're always in learner mode, which means we have to be humble and we have to go, maybe God's got something new to show me I haven't seen before. And I know this is counterintuitive, but Dallas Willard, I'm a big Dallas Willard fan, but he had said, anger is American Christians' biggest problem because they're not taught out of it. We actually do think we're entitled to it, even though there's no scriptural basis for it. The scripture that people use all the time is Ephesians 4:26, and they'll say, see, Brant, it says, in your anger, do not sin. So they're like, well, that means it's good to be angry, and we should, you know, but the rest of the verse says, and be sure to get rid of your anger before the sun goes down. So we only memorize half the verse to justify our anger. We're supposed to get rid of it. So it's not a sin to get angry, but to think you're entitled to it is the problem. And it's not relativism. I mean, acknowledging that forgiveness needs to happen, you acknowledge that there's an offense, that somebody has done something legitimately wrong, but I'm not going to hang on to anger in light of what God's done for me. And in fact, I'll be forgiven as I forgive. Whatever
That's right.
measure I use will be used against me or for me, like in my own. Like, so this is us picking up our cross daily. It's not easy. This isn't easy stuff. This is us picking up our cross as Jesus did for people. He even said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's not relativism. This is called discipleship. And it's a beautiful thing, and it sets us free. It's a better way to live, because then once we're not having to deal with his anger all the time. I was on Good Morning America talking about this, weirdly enough, and the anchor asked me, he was like, yeah, but forgiveness is really hard, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, but you know what's harder? Living a life of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
It's way harder. This is a better way to live. So it's not acting like there's nothing wrong. It's the opposite of that. It's acknowledging that we live with brokenness, but the cross did happen. Like that was a bloody scene. And that's because of me, not just you. That's me too. Like that was for all of us. And that's gotta be my posture towards the world is look what God has done for me. How can I, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, like, I've been let off the death row by a God who loves me so much. How can I turn around and look at other people and go, well, they're just, I need to hold on to my anger forever. Like that's not a response to what God has done for us.
Indeed. It is amazing how easy it is for many Christians to justify grudge holding and unforgiveness as if they're the exception to the rule, but what that is doing in their lives and their and even the people around them, justifying, working around, talking themselves out of, you know, but this, you don't know this story. You don't know what they've done to me.
And
what it's clamping down on the power of God in and through them. You said, thinking we're entitled to keep anger in our laps, whether toward the sin of a political figure, a news network, your dumb neighbor, your lying spouse, your deceased father, whomever, is perfectly natural and perfectly foolish. Make no mistake, foolishness destroys. Being offended is a tiring business. Letting go of things gives you energy.
Yeah.
Hear that again. Letting go of things gives you energy. Say another word about that. I think somebody hearing that today wonders why they're so exhausted, why it's been a while since they've heard from the Lord. Why does holding on make you tired and shut you down, and letting go bring you back to life again?
Well, I want to reference too, right? Like when I talk about anger in your lap, like literally in Proverbs, it says that anger resides in the lap of fools. Like if you're like, I'm going to let anger live here. Okay. That will destroy you, and could, because foolishness does destroy. So I want to make that point. It's tiring because like literally physiologically, you're having to live with this the rest of your life. Like it's exhausting. It's distracting. And it's, again, you can say, well, but you don't know what they did to me. Like, I don't have to, I know what people have done to me. Somebody said, it made me laugh. They're like, oh, unoffendable. I guess you've never been had any pain in life. Like,
wow.
Oh my goodness. You have no idea.
Right.
So, but when you don't have that occupying you mentally, imagine that. Just taking up space in your head. And again, the genius of the wisdom of the Bible, like you were talking about the brain, for instance, like we're told, Jesus is like, consider this, consider that. Think about these things instead. Consider the lilies of the field. And then we got in Philippians where, I think it's Philippians, it may be wrong, but it's like, I can't remember. But Paul is saying, put your mind on whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy and excellent. Put your mind on these things, and then the peace of God will guard you. You'll be at peace. Anger is the opposite. Living with anger is the opposite of living with peace. Do you actually want peace? So the way of Jesus is offering this way of peace. He gives it as a gift at the Last Supper to his disciples. And it's, some of us are like, nah, I'd rather have my news network and get worked up about stuff and then hold a grudge against my neighbor and be angry at my dad for the rest of my life. Like, I understand we've been hurt, but this is not the best way to live. He knows the best way to live.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so good, Brant. And I think sometimes we think if we're mad at, like you say, politicians, it's a little consequence because we're not really in a relationship with them. I cannot tell you the number of wives, and this is not just true for men because I know it's true for women as well, but just working with mostly women who've told me, my husband has literally changed because he's on news networks that are fueling so much hatred for the other side that as a believer, he's hardly in the word. He's so angry. And it feels like a righteous anger because of where this is going or where that's going. Yeah. But they're like, we don't have the fellowship. I mean, so you can be bitter against someone you don't even know, and you think it's of little consequence, but it's always of consequence, isn't it?
Yeah, because it changes you, and now you're not the man that you should have been. Like, we actually need it. And you know what we really need? Are older people who are at peace. And instead, what's going on with a lot of our parents, I would say, in my age, like just camping out with the news and getting themselves worked into a frazzle. And the truth is a lot of stuff that they're seeing is horrible and it is evil and all that. But you know what? If you want to actually do something about evil, that's wonderful. Just being angry about it, that's not wonderful. We can actually do things about evil without anger. We do it with a heart of forgiveness, but we still act. And in fact, we do it better without anger. Whatever we do with anger, we can do it better without. And wow. I always give the examples of like police or judges or military people. Like they do their jobs better when they're not angry, but they still have to do the right thing to protect the vulnerable. Your anger is not required. And what's happening is we have a lot of older people that should be the peaceful people rocking on the porch that you could walk up to and get advice from and a listening ear and some wisdom and some peace and some blessing. And instead they're worked up about the news of the day. And I think it's a huge loss, but they're going to say, well, these are important issues. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I travel around the world a lot. Okay, if you want to really get worked up, we could talk about all the stuff going on in the world. There's tons to be angry about. You can be angry all the way to the grave. But that's not who you're supposed to be. And we miss out on who you were supposed to be. So please put your mind on what's true and lovely and admirable and pure, please, because we need you to be who, you know, the older person with the wisdom. There's not many left.
Amen. Wow, that's so good. I don't remember where I read this, and it's a paraphrase, but in so many words, Jesus said things are proven right by their fruit. And I just think if you look at the fruit of what you're focusing on, and then ask yourself, is this bearing the kind of fruit that strengthens me and nourishes others? I love what you said here. Anger does not enhance judgment. It just doesn't. And I think that that's how you get a religious spirit. I mean, that's how the Pharisees, you know, got so fossilized in their faith perspective is they let their anger skew their judgment to the point that they missed Jesus right when he was in front of them. And it's a pure in heart that see God. So what are we missing because anger has clouded our view in our self-righteousness? I mean, that's a tough question, but we need to ask it, you know?
Well, right. And so like, think about if Jesus is here among us today, no way. As much as I think I'm right, like regarding the issues of the day, and let's just say I am, okay? Let's just say I am. There's no way Jesus would allow me to go off on people and point the finger and go, hey, you're right, they're terrible. There's no way, because he never does that. He never joins in. Everybody, there's all these groups of people in the Gospels that are wanting him to go off on the other people. So again, this isn't relativism. It's just reality about he knows how we're all wired and that we're all broken and we are all in need of him. He knows that. So he's not going to allow me to point at somebody else and go, look how horrible they are. He never allows that. So I don't want to be in that frame of mind. I want to be rooting for everybody and also recognize what evil is and take action to defend the vulnerable.
Amen. No. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with Brant Hansen in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking about an essential topic, an important topic, essential to the Christian faith. It's about unoffendability. It's about being quick to forgive, dealing with the anger that's in your heart. Brant Hansen is my guest today. I just love this guy. His book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. It's a bestseller, which I love because people are teachable about this. They want to read about this and want to learn about how do I keep my heart a pure place so I can see people and see our even our culture through eyes of faith. Jesus was moved by compassion when he saw the crowds, even though so many betrayed him. But truly, there's something powerful about dealing with our hearts in a way that keeps our perspective redemptive, right? We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Brant says, we should forfeit our right to be offended. That means forfeiting our right to hold on to anger. It strikes at our very pride. It forces us not only to think about humility, but to actually be humble. There's something powerful and incredibly compelling about someone who refuses to be offended. You know, I was going to ask you, Brant, if there are different ways to not be offended, you know, that aren't as healthy as actually not being offended. But then I decided, I know this is a word salad here, but it's like there's only one way to do this because you can maybe say something doesn't bug you and then you stuff it into your soul and it makes you bitter, which is proof that it actually does. So it feels to me like, you know, you can try to fake it or skirt the issue, but true unoffendability goes to the very heart of, it goes, you know, it's like the elevator has to go all the way down to the bottom. I mean, it's a very humbling, important process. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it does. Like, because some people will be like, oh, you want me to repress my anger? No, no. And venting isn't a good idea. Oh, so I shouldn't vent. I should repress. No, no, no. No, because forgiveness acknowledges the brokenness and the hurt. You acknowledge it and then you forgive because of what God has done for you. It's incredibly healthy. It's so, some people will be like, oh, am I supposed to stay in relationship with this person the rest of my life? No. No, but if you don't forgive them, you are staying in a relationship with them the rest of your life in your head.
Mm. Wow.
You are. Yeah. So yeah. This is, Jesus is giving us a better way to live. And I, as far as like just like I'm stuffing my anger, this isn't about stuffing at all. It's about actually healthily dealing with it.
How do you do that? I mean, you're a public person. Your book is hilarious too. I laugh out loud. I mean, you're so funny, but you're also so deep. But you've had just impossible, you've received impossible correspondence from people where they expect the impossible from you. I mean, I love that you can laugh at it, but how do you process that when people come at you with really unrealistic expectations?
So this is a discipline. This is great for you if you're listening, you're like in any kind of public facing job at all, but like doing radio or whatever, you just get these complaints. It doesn't matter if you're doing secular radio or Christian radio, whatever, you're going to get weird complaints. And it just dawned on me, like, am I going to be shocked every time? Because this is how humans are. And so what's weird is me. I can't believe somebody would send this email. Like, at some point, I need to believe it. Like, this is the world that we're in. And there's scriptures that talk about how Jesus knew what men were thinking. And no one had to tell Jesus what men were like, it says in one of the Gospels. He knew what they were thinking. Like, look, people are going to do people stuff. The fact that we continue to be upset and offended that somebody cut us off or that my mom said that thing that she says and always says, like at some point we have to go, you know what? I'm waking up today. I'm not going to be offended today. I know humans are messed up. I'm not going to learn this lesson over and over like Groundhog Day the rest of my life, that humans are seriously messed up. If you're a Jesus person, you're especially attuned to this. You know the fallen nature of man. You know how you are. So going into the day becomes a discipline where you're going to say, I'm going to forgive people in advance because of what God's done for me. Hmm. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put off anger because I know that I'm not going to be shocked. So what actually happens is as you practice that, it becomes something that gets easier. So like when it comes to emails and stuff, I can't remember if I told you, Susie, but I do the like MediShare commercials or whatever. And so I just voice this commercial. And I don't know how people track me down. They just don't like my voice.
Oh, no, I can't.
I know. Keep going. Funny because like it's not, I can't even take it personally. It's just like, well, man, I think you've got a problem. But one of my favorite tweets that I got was, I quote this, and I'm on the commercial, I'm always like, you know, you can save $500 a month or whatever. And the guy said, dude, you're the worst. Every time I hear your voice on the radio, I want to drive my Jeep into a tree.
Oh, so, my goodness.
That was his tweet. And my response was, okay, but first, can I tell you about the health plan where you can save $500? So I get a kick. I know it's human nature. I can't
Wow.
be shocked by this. So when
Wow.
I'm opening my emails, I've decided I'm whatever this email says, I'm not going to tell you personally. People have all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then what happens is you start to find things where somebody says something that previously you'd get mad about. Now you're actually like, well, they did make one good point here. I can say thank you for that. And then you hear yourself give a gentle answer. And when you respond gently, try this sometime on social media or wherever. If you respond gently, it turns away your own wrath. There's a proverb that says a gentle answer turns away wrath. It's not just the wrath of the other person.
Wow,
And that
that's
works
good.
too. Their next email is usually like, dude, you're the best. I'm sorry. I was having a bad day. I don't know. And then, but in me hearing myself answer gently, I can feel the anger leave my body. I'm not kidding.
Yep. Same thing. I've done the same thing and have known that when I've died to my huff, if they're being unrealistic and being vindictive and just get low because Jesus got low, I feel the supernatural transaction that takes place where he comes in, you get low, and he even becomes your defender. And it's like, if we could really trust that, it's like we're not just tossing offenses into the universe to see where they land. We're casting our cares on Jesus, who has righteousness in him, and he can deal with things much better than we can. It helps us to travel lighter. And that's what he's asking. I know I see what you don't know and you don't see. Trust me, and you'll travel lighter. I mean, that's really the invitation, isn't it?
Everything he's saying, like the Sermon on the Mount, makes us freer.
Yeah,
We're
so
freer.
good.
Like, this is a better way to live. You will laugh more. People will want to be around you more. You can enjoy your life. You can be at peace. You can act against injustice in a better way that's not cluttered by and clouded by your own self-righteousness. Like, this is all a better way to live. Jesus is giving us a better way to live. And it makes all of life better when you can laugh about stuff that otherwise would
Yeah.
have sent you up the wall. Oh, that's pretty cool. And it's
Indeed.
called, and you know what? I think following this stuff, doing this is actually picking up your cross daily. Like I said, I think it's discipleship.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about right now, like living Jesus' way of forgiveness is actually what it means to be a disciple. We grow up so fast when we do it.
Boy, that's so good. I brought this passage up probably 20 times on this show over the last few years, but I can't help it because it applies to this as well. But in Jeremiah 17, it says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like a tree planted by streams of living water. Their leaves stay green. They're not bothered by the heat or long months of drought. They continue to grow in the Lord." The verse right before that, if you look at like the New King James or the original translation, it says, "Cursed are those who trust in man." But this is the original that you don't see in some of the more contemporary. It says, "They're like a stunted shrub in the desert, and they don't see goodness when it comes." So when you're putting your trust in man and you're hoping in man and man-made solutions, I think that's what is fuel for anger. It's like if you make that policy, if you make that decision, you give man so much power, you're stunting your own growth, and then you don't see goodness when it comes. And I just think that's so powerful to think about. And I think that is what is behind so much offense, Brant, is that we're ultimately putting our hope in man. If they have so much power to destroy our lives, we're really not putting our trust in God, because when you're like the tree planted by streams of water in the heat or the drought, you keep bearing fruit because you keep being nourished by God. I mean, again, that's such a contrast, right?
No, you're so right. And think about this, because so much anger comes from perceived threat, right? So if I'm insecure, I'm threatened all the time. If I feel insecure, I'm constantly under threat. So this is what like news networks are so good, constantly showing you why you should be insecure and why that you should endure a threat. And again, I'm not saying that there's no such legit big issues out there, but this idea that just even personally, if I'm an insecure guy, I'm getting angry all the time. Getting angry all the time is not a sign of spiritual maturity. If I feel secure, man, I can tell you just about anything. And what if I got to be threatened if I've given everything to God? Like, what are you going to take from me? Well, they could take your life. I gave that away too. What can you take from me? I feel like I likened it in one of my books to like where Iron Man's in the movie, like looks like he's gonna die, and he's still kind of funny about it, and he's still quipping and stuff. Like, I kind of feel that way in life because I feel like, no, I'm safe with God no matter what happens. But that puts you in a totally, you're not very threatenable when you realize just how good God is. And that means you don't
Wow.
get angry at them. So it's a real sign of just being a healthier person. Here's the other thing too, which I think is really important. You have to remind yourself of that truth all the time because you're so forgetful. We're so forgetful. So making it a policy in the morning to ask God to help me forgive people in advance today. They're going to do, let me be unoffendable. So that's just, it's very good to remind yourself to do that. We always have to self-correct. I love how David talks to his own mindset in Psalms. He's like, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. He's talking to his own mindset. Like, that's really healthy. It's really, and to remind yourself of just how good God is, then you can start to notice all the beauty around you. And then the weird thing is your neighbors will actually want to hang out with you now.
Come on. Amen. I love that. I love what you said a few minutes ago too. You're less threatenable when you realize how good God is. And I got to read this from your book. God wants us to drop our arms. No more defensiveness. No more taking things personally. He'll handle it. Really, trust him. Rest. Quit thinking it's up to you to police people. Quit trying to parent the whole world. Quit offering advice when exactly zero people asked for it. And quit rehearsing in your mind what the other person did to you. Man, if we could take an inventory of the brain space that we give to these kinds of things, it would be no
Absolutely.
wonder that we've lost peace and joy and a winsomeness in our faith. But man, if we could start to take inventory and do what you're saying here and trust God will sort it out, life will become so much more enjoyable, right?
Oh, totally. It is such a relief. Because you see, when you have conflict going on with people or with people you haven't even met, they're in the news or whatever, you have this ongoing mental dialogue, argument. You can't even look at the sky without like, oh, the sky is blue. Oh, I bet those climate freaks are saying that we're all gonna die because of, like, holy cow, my mind just took off into some political debate. God, thank you for making the sky blue. You can be childlike again. And you don't sacrifice anything. It'll actually, you only gain from this. You'll gain creativity. You'll gain the ability to address rights and wrongs. You'll gain the ability to think clearly. And your family will be thankful that you're now becoming a different person. So this is a ticket to peace. And I hate when we say no to it.
Why? When we come back, we're going to talk about how to practically apply this to our lives, how to practice it, right? Talking to Brant Hansen, his book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. You can text the word book if you want in on drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking about a really important topic today, unoffendability. And all of us have to reckon with this, especially if we are professing believers following Jesus. Forgive as we've been forgiven, right? But even to take it down to a deepest place where we're super honest with what's going on in our hearts. Brant's book is Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. I remember reading one of the Catherine Marshall books many years ago, and she and her hubby had an evening practice every night based on scripture, the Anything Against Anybody prayer, where they would sit with the Lord to say, Lord, do we have anything against anybody? They asked him. They didn't tell him. They said, show us. Do we have anything against anybody? And that's how they found some of these just minute little offenses that were taking root that they had waved away like they were nothing, but they were still in there. And, you talked even about how when you practice this, when something big happens, you're in practice, so you can get there a lot quicker. So let's talk about just some practical ways on a day-to-day basis, maybe ways we're offended we're not even realizing, but we're picking up baggage as we go through the day. So how do we discern that and how do we do it?
Well, okay, so the practicing thing is really important because we can say practice forgiveness. No, think about like basketball practice, like free throw practice. The reason you practice something is so that you can do it in a real life situation and do it without thinking. It just becomes second nature, right? So you keep trying your free throws until it's just an automatic, hopefully an economical physical movement that you don't have to think about when the game's on the line. Well, practicing forgiveness is very similar. Like, pick some low leverage things during the day, like in traffic. I literally call traffic forgiveness practice because you've got nothing to lose by forgiving this person that's tailgating you or the person that just cut you off or whatever.
Excellent.
You got nothing to, so actually, this sounds like just a religious phrase or talk or something. It's not. Pray for that person. Ask God to bless that person, to add value to his or her life, to bless their children, that their day would be awesome. It will change your heart. And why not? It's again, it's low leverage. The reason you do it is because God has forgiven you. So once you start practicing that, it puts you in a different frame of mind so that when there's bigger problems, like the people, there are people probably in your life who drive you crazy. And these are the people that you need to forgive. And it might not be easy, but again, it's a lot easier than living a whole life of unforgiveness. So starting the day, getting in a disciplined habit of saying, I'm going to forgive people in advance today. I know the world is broken. Lord, let me be like you. Let me see people like you see them. And then actually making it happen in low leverage situations, like forgive that your boss is going to do stuff your boss is going to do. We know this. We're not going to be shocked today. Going to forgive him or her in advance. So this becomes a way of life. The only resource for this, if people are like, I still don't know how to do this. The only real resource for this is out of pure gratitude for what God has done for you. I think we don't really, we say, well, God, God gave his son for my sins. Like, do you realize what you're saying? Like, how big of a deal that is? Do you realize how bloody that scene was? And I'm responsible for that. That should have been me. And he's forgiven me. I get to walk away free. And then I turn around and point my fingers at somebody else. No. And I'm going to do it again, not because this person deserves it. They may never say they're sorry. That's not the point. They don't deserve it. God deserves it for what he's done for me. I didn't deserve it either. Like, so this is us taking on the character of God to practice what he's shown us to do. And I don't think there's anything more important than that. I think this is it. So that's how you practice it. It's got to become a daily thing.
Well, I think it ties so well with what you were saying when you opened the show today about when I asked what's the Lord been talking to you about. And you talked about daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Learning a new daily dependence where you're not projecting into tomorrow or, lamenting too much over the past, but you're staying present with God and you're watching him provide for you. To start there, to say, God is on his throne. God is my provider. God sees all things that I can't. When you're establishing him in his rightful place, I think it then it puts you in your rightful place going, he's forgiven me. He's loved me. He sent his son to die for me. To keep those narratives before us, I think makes more sense then to go, I don't care how evil they are. I need to put them in their right place before God so that my heart can stay pure, right?
That is right. And as an act of worship to God, and you let him sort it out in the end. Like, he has to handle that. He's got a big picture. It'll make you more, if you practice this, it'll make you more loving, more joyful, more peaceful. You'll be more gentle. You'll be more patient. These are all fruits of the Spirit. All of that will happen in your life if you're practicing this, because it forces you into this humility, and it's all an act of worship to God. It changes your character. And God is really interested in who we're becoming. So this is a real chance for growth. If you're like, well, I've never really thought about this before. All right, that's cool. We all learn new things, and what a great chance for us to continue to grow. That's an awesome thing.
Wow. And so when people are offended, annoyed, or irritated, does it always mean that you need to forgive the other person, or maybe you're irritable and you need forgiveness? You know what I mean?
All
Like, how
right,
does it per-
right.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all the same, like it's all in the mix. And again, when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, I don't know other people's motives. He said, I don't even know my own. So I'm going to have to let God sort it out in the end. So it's hard to figure it all out. I'm glad we don't have to figure it all out.
Indeed.
Because I used to be like, are my motives really pure here, or is it kind of mixed? Well, we're all a mixed bag. And I love being more childlike and going, I have to figure everything out. I just know I'm supposed to forgive people because of what God's done for me. And Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me that. I remember singing about that. So I love being able to just practice this in a way that even kids can understand.
It's beautiful. How is just the active practice? I mean, the book's been out a number of years now and you've re-released it, but just you being so mindful of it, how has it impacted relationships with unbelievers and with and even, you talked a little bit about how you manage your critics who are unreasonable at some times, but like your immediate family and then your neighbors or just people that you encounter every day. How's that been for you?
Honestly, so there's a freak out factor with some people. I've had a couple traffic situations that have escalated. It's one way escalation, but I'm totally calm, and that freaks people out. So they don't know what to do with that. So that's just kind of an aside. That's just kind of funny to me. Like in a really heated situation, when you've practiced this, you're rooting for them, and that freaks people out. So the other thing is, I'm a Pharisee by nature. I'm a very black and white person by nature. I named my son Justice, and he's, we just got out of the military. He's a great guy. Like, but this is who we are. But this thing has made me go from intimidating neighbors and people to we're now the place to hang out. People want to be with us. Because we're not scandalized by anything. We know people are broken. So, like, they're fine. It's weird because now the whole world is so judgmental and the whole world is so righteously, quote unquote, angry. We're the ones who aren't. Like, that's really quite the inversion, isn't it? And we become the attractive ones in the oasis and the respite. So people can even go, I don't understand how Christians believe this stuff when they talk to us and then listen to us go, well, here's where we're coming from, and we're still friends. They love it. So
Because
that's pretty
you're
cool.
around their bonfire or around their table,
Totally. And they want us to be like before that was like, so we're not scandalized by anything. I think the power of God is greater in us than anything that's in the world. I really believe that. So we don't need to be scared. I know there's right and wrong. I got it. Part of it for us in living this out is our kids are out of the house now. If the kids were still in the house, then there would be different standards about, how we do things with whomever. But the fact that they're grown up and now out of the house, like I don't think we have anything to fear from our neighbors, and we're actually playing from a really strong hand because we're the ones that actually have this thing called peace. Nobody else really has it in our culture, so it stands out like a. Like a city on a hill or something. So
Well, Grant, you
it's a
have to
good.
know who you are. You've got to know your identity in Christ, and you've got to be secure in the truth of his word to be able to entrust all that to him and love people. We love people, we hope in God. We've talked a lot on the show about identity, but even Jesus, a friend of sinners, it infuriated the religious. It infuriated them because they're like, why must he eat with such scum? I'm like, he disrupted the narrative. He didn't wink at sin. He didn't have a double standard,
No.
but somehow sinners felt safe around him and were drawn to him.
Yeah, rooting for him. Rooting for him. And at no point, even though he knows right and wrong, of course. But at no point is he like, okay, you're disgusting. Woof, I'm out of here. So I feel like we have that same sort of strength available to us where it's like, yeah, we know humans are messed up since the beginning. Like, the two boys were born, one killed the other one. Like, humans have a profound problem, and we got it. So how are we going to love people? And I'm going to root for them. I'm going to be truthful, but I'm still rooting for them.
How have people responded to the book? We only got less than a minute left, but how have people responded to this message?
It's been really cool because it's so counterintuitive. And so a lot of people are like, no way, no way. They read the first few chapters like, oh my goodness, I think he's right. Because I have to make the case for what I'm saying about anger and forgiveness. So it's been really positive. I've been really
That's
thankful
amazing.
for that. Yeah. And I know I'm not like a world-class theologian or anything. So it's nice that the Lord will use any of us.
Yeah. Well, you present it in such a humble, winsome way, Brant. Appreciate it so much. I'm going to read this last quote before we wrap up. Yes, the world is broken. Don't be offended by it. Instead, thank God that he's intervened in it and he's going to restore it. And that's a great final thought, that we can live with a winsome joy because God is in the process of restoring all things. Brant, we love you and appreciate you. You're a busy guy. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're the best. Brant Hansen is my guest. His book, Unoffendable, How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.